Welcome to the Global PSC Podcast, brought to you by the Global Product Stewardship Council and our members. Our members are based in 10 countries and operate globally. They include producers, product recovery organizations, reprocessors, NGOs, and governments at federal, state, or provincial and local levels. The Global PSC helps facilitate the development of effective product stewardship and extended producer responsibility, or EPR, schemes globally. Details are available at globalpsc.net. Today we're in Melbourne with Michael Dudley, Strategic Lead on Product Stewardship for Sustainability Victoria. SV has long been a Global PSC government member, and we've worked closely with them over the years on product stewardship for paint and handheld batteries in particular. Michael, tell us about yourself and SV.
Yeah, sure thing, Russ. I'll start with SV. So for listeners who aren't familiar with SV, we're a Victorian state government agency, and we're responsible for promoting and facilitating environmental sustainability. We deliver a range of programs with households, businesses, local communities, and schools, which all aim to tackle climate change by encouraging increased uptake of renewable energy options and supporting energy efficiency outcomes. In our waste work, we support Victorians to waste less, recycle more, and support the development of a stable waste and resource recovery system. I myself have been working at SV for almost 3 years now and focus on product stewardship as a core intervention of our market development strategy for recovered resources. Before joining SV, I played a key role establishing Australia's National Television and Computer Recycling Scheme, NTCRS as another acronym, and have managed stewardship programs for a range of priority materials, including mobiles, batteries, plastics, and textiles.
What products are Victoria's priorities for addressing through product stewardship, and what are the principal drivers for targeting those products?
So our most recent stewardship focus revolves around solar products. As an Australian first, solar products will be banned from landfill in Victoria come July 1. We identified that solar panels were the fastest growing e-waste stream in Australia, and there was a general lack of dedicated recycling infrastructure available to recover those resources embedded within those products. We're also looking to target and address gaps within our recycling system to ensure that we can manage products and product impacts locally.
SV has a long history of trialing collections and recycling for products before they've been rolled out across Australia as national product stewardship approaches. We've seen this for TVs and computers, batteries and paint. What does SV see as the benefit in trialing approaches before helping to formalize them?
By trialing various collection approaches across different material streams, we're able to provide a clear picture of the barriers and opportunities which may exist and design effective and efficient systems which help inform regulatory options. A great example here would be SV's Paintback pilot, which ran in 2007 and assisted to evidence the need for a national scheme. Through the pilot, we were able to identify the likely costs for a large-scale scheme, which informed the per-litre levy, which funds the scheme's operation today.
You're also working on solar products and photovoltaic panels. Why have governments via SV started addressing these?
Solar products can both contain hazardous elements which need to be managed responsibly at end of life and valuable resources which are worth recovering. Solar uptake is reaching new heights in Australia. So by leading a national approach, we hope to implement a system which is consistent for all Australians, and it influences sustainability at the design phase as well. We believe it's important to coordinate these efforts where possible, and the product stewardship framework in Australia provides a terrific platform to pursue this type of approach.
Do you expect there to be legacy issues around the PV panels that are out there now? Because of the longer time that they're in place, has there been much change in the systems over the years to where the panels that have been in place for a while that will be, you know, reaching their end of useful life are vastly different than what we have now? Has the technology led to good developments in PV panels?
Well, like with everything, we're learning to design products more efficiently and with less hazardous elements. So you're seeing the first generation panels which have either lead or mercury embedded within them. Those products are being designed out. At the same time, panel manufacturers are also looking to design out the expensive components, being the silver, which then has an impact on the market incentive to recover these materials. So we are seeing a change. However, we have to acknowledge the products that are out there in the marketplace at the moment and the hazardous elements that need to be managed. So it's not like TVs and computers and the digital switchover where we have a lot of CRT TVs coming in all at once. These products are trickling through the waste system at the moment, and councils and jurisdictions across the country are managing them in a way. However, we expect and have projected significant increases of end-of-life PV panels entering our waste stream from around 2023. In 2015, we in Victoria estimated that we generated 550 tons of end-of-life panels. That projection is set to increase to 25,000 tons by 2035. So if we represent 25% of the Australian population, that means there's going to be 100,000 tons of these products entering Australia's waste stream by 2035.
Tell us a little bit more detail about the ban, the landfill ban coming into effect in Victoria.
Well, basically, it's going to be the most comprehensive definition of e-waste that we've seen in Australia, and it'll be the most comprehensive ban of these products entering landfill. You have examples in both ACT and SA in South Australia where we've got a subset of these materials that are banned from landfill. But as of July 1 in Victoria, any device which requires an electromagnetic current to operate, closely mirroring the WEEE directive's definition of waste and electronic equipment, anything with a plug or battery can't go there. And it has to be recycled in some way. There has been a change to an existing waste management policy which defines electronic waste, and it expands it to all of those products that I mentioned. There's also the introduction of a new waste management policy which specifies how these products must be managed once they enter the waste stream. It sets material recovery rates through recycling for products that are captured by national stewardship programs and looks to adopt new targets in material recovery rates as more stewardship programs come online.
In looking at banning materials from landfill, it's important to make sure that people have an opportunity to bring the items in and collect them for recycling as part of a comprehensive approach. What is some of the interaction between development of product stewardship for the affected items and timing or development of the landfill ban?
Well, look, it's tough, Russ, and it's not equal across each of our 79 municipalities in Victoria. Some have access to the NTCRS, for example, where you can take your TV and computer and it'll be collected by a co-regulatory arrangement and recycled at no cost to the consumer. However, their neighbouring council might not have that same access. Likewise, there's the Mobile Muster Program, which is fairly readily and readily available across Victoria. There's over 700 disposal points for mobile musters. So mobile phones aren't a big concern when the landfill ban comes and takes effect. So it becomes a question for those councils who don't have access or can't leverage the National Television Computer Recycling Scheme in some way, and their community members have to pay to responsibly dispose of that product. So I think it's an extremely important time, particularly in Australia's history around product stewardship. We're reviewing the Act at the moment. We're reviewing the scheme itself to see if it actually achieves those objectives, if there's fair and reasonable access for all community members to responsibly dispose of these products. I'm proud that the Victorian government has banned these products from landfill. I know that we don't have the infrastructure to recover high percentages of those recovered resources at the moment. However, by introducing bans, that will encourage these materials to go through a formal sector, and it'll also bring the volumes online to warrant investment in our capability onshore so that we can manage these products locally.
But generally, are people prepared to pay some small amount for making sure that these items are recycled? Because I'm going back to the development of the TV and computer scheme itself. The main thing that led to the ability to do the scheme was a public willingness to pay survey that said people want to see these items recycled and they're prepared to pay a bit for them. Not a huge amount.
But look, as I mentioned earlier, it really differs depending on where you are in Victoria and that type of item that you're looking to dispose of. So there wasn't any willingness to pay research that was conducted. There was, however, social research to understand the current beliefs, behaviours and attitudes of Victorians towards electronic waste. Now, largely, Victorians don't even know what the term e-waste means. So that signals to us that there's a real focus required around education on what e-waste is and where you can take it to responsibly dispose of it. The cost and willingness to pay will vary, again, depending on what you're looking to responsibly dispose of and what your local community has access to in terms of support from product stewardship schemes or EPR programs.
What are some of the major issues to be addressed for the products that you're trying to address through product stewardship, either now or for the foreseeable future?
I think one of the biggest challenges for photovoltaic products in Australia, again, is that lack of dedicated infrastructure to recover those materials. So we've got shredding equipment, which is readily available across Australia, and that's what most recyclers use to first treat TVs and computers once various components have been extracted. That's not suitable for PV panels, and we need to provide support to our sector to enhance our capability. So while we're pushing a system of shared responsibility, a consistent one across Australia, we're also looking to provide support to the sector through RD&D and through resource recovery infrastructure. So we have a range of grants that we look to increase our capability, divert materials from landfill, and also encourage growth in our resource recovery sector and by way of employment options. Recycling infrastructure or lack of recycling infrastructure is obviously a key focus. Designing waste out of these materials in the first instance is a particular challenge for us in Australia because we don't manufacture these products here.
What is something that people aren't likely to know about you or your activities?
Well, I'd say that to date, we haven't promoted a lot of the work that we've led for the last 3 years to assess options for photovoltaic products. We've done in-depth engagement with international leaders in this space. PV Cycle is a pan-European stewardship arrangement, and they provide WEEE compliance services for liable parties, which is the term we use in Australia. They started as a voluntary approach and moved to a more regulated approach when PV panels were added to the list of products under the WEEE directive. So they've got a few different experiences that we can learn from. So they've seen what works, what hasn't, and we can learn from the good, the bad, and the ugly as we look to adopt something in Australia.
Who do you look to or follow for either inspiration or information in your field? Who should we be looking out for? Paying attention to?
Look, a big part of my early development working for InfoActive when we were tasked with designing and rolling out ANZRP's TechClick program, I was fortunate to work with John Gatakis. So to me, John is certainly an e-waste guru and I've looked to follow in his large footsteps, but you know, he has recently established E-Waste Watch, which I think is a great forum and platform for people to learn more about responsible e-waste management, to learn about other ways of consuming products to avoid waste, and to identify who actually is achieving what outcomes. It's really hard to make sense of all of the information. There's such an information overload, not only with recycling and responsibly disposing of products, but just in general day life. So I think if I can look to someone who has his finger on the pulse and is across all of the key areas that affect the work that we're trying to lead, I automatically think of John.
Yeah. We've worked closely with him over the years and continue to do so. So I agree. He is inspiring.
But in saying that, I'm lucky enough to work with some really passionate people. My director of resource recovery, Matt Geneva, has certainly been around the traps and is no stranger to product stewardship. He was the CEO of the Tyre Stewardship Australia and is really passionate about effective programs which are fair and equitable. It has to be reasonably practicable for these products and programs to be managed. So I'm lucky and inspired to have him as a leader. I'm inspired by my colleagues around me. I'm inspired by the community member who calls up to try and do the right thing with their waste. I'm inspired by the entrepreneur who sees the challenges in our waste system as an opportunity. I'm inspired by the school children who educate their parents on what it means to be an environmental steward. And it's just an area that I love working in, and can't wait to continue the great work on behalf of SV and the Victorian government.
Michael, thank you for taking the time to talk with us on the Global PSC podcast. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me, Russ. And we look forward to continuing to work with Global Product Stewardship Council on the many important initiatives that we're working towards in Australia.
Thanks for listening to the Global PSC podcast, brought to you by the Global Product Stewardship Council and our members. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Global PSC, or check out globalpsc.net for more information. Thank you.